Modern Love, the podcast, is supported by...
This podcast is supported by Cartier. In celebration of the Trinity Collection's 100th anniversary, Cartier shares testaments of love in all its forms from around the world. Please keep listening for today's love story later in this episode.
Produced by the iLab at WBUR, Boston.
From the New York Times and WBUR Boston, this is Modern Love. Stories of love, loss, and redemption. I'm your host, Meghna Chakrabarty. Andrew Rannells has been nominated for 2 Tony Awards. He starred as Elijah on HBO's Girls, and you can see him now in Black Monday on Showtime. But in the early 2000s, before any of that happened, he was just like a lot of 20-somethings, trying to make his career happen and dreaming about his perfect boyfriend. Here's Andrew reading his own essay, "The Tallest Man I Ever Loved."
My therapist believed that if you wanted to manifest something in your life, you needed to focus your energy on that thing. I decided to apply this to my search for love, so I made a list only a 22-year-old could make. I wanted the man of my dreams to be, 1, taller than me. I'm 6'2", so it's a big ask. 2, dark-haired. 3, fit, kind, and funny, but not too funny because that was my job. 4, social, but not too social. I didn't want to compete for attention. 5, creative. Later that day, I was on my way to the laundromat when I saw Todd. We had acted together in a Westchester Broadway dinner theater production of Grease. He was Danny Zuko. I was Duty. He looked even more beautiful than I remembered. Except for being 12 years older and straight, he was exactly what I wanted. He was even 2 inches taller than I was. "I just moved into the building next door," he said. I tried not to swallow my tongue. Todd said he'd heard about my father dying and felt terrible about not calling. I knew he had gotten a divorce, yet I hadn't called either. In trying to comfort him about not comforting me, I actually said, "Oh, it's okay," about my own dead father. I was really nailing this interaction. "You want to have dinner and catch up?" he said. "Yes." I practically floated to the laundromat. I knew this wasn't a date, but I was still excited. We picked a Greek place and ordered gyros and beer. I didn't drink beer, but beer seemed appropriate for my non-date date with this straight guy. We talked about my father's funeral, and I really opened up to him. Maybe because it wasn't a date. "It's been a crazy couple of months," he said. "After my divorce, I really had to think about what had gone wrong with my marriage." I zoned out for most of Todd's speech because I was watching his lips move and his pecs jump, but I became laser-focused when he said, "I realized I'm gay. So I wanted to tell you that, Andrew. I'm gay." You know those moments when time stands still? Like when you drive off a cliff or see your baby for the first time, neither of which I've experienced, but you know what I mean. That's what this felt like. Eventually, I said something supportive about being honored that he chose to tell me. Then we moved on. I knew from my own coming out that it didn't mean you wanted to belabor it, so I followed Todd's lead, and the rest of dinner was professional chit-chat. We walked to our apartments, hugged awkwardly, and then I went inside in a daze of anxiety and lust. And then I wondered, did I just blow it? Had we actually been on a date? The only thing to do was go back and ask. Moments later, facing a shirtless Todd in his doorway, I said, "Were we just on a date?" He smiled. "Get in here." I did as told, and we proceeded to have the greatest sex I'd ever had in my life. I fell asleep in his arms and woke up that way. It was the first time I had slept through the night since my father died. Todd made me feel safe, and I made him feel safe. He was just out of the closet, and here he had a man, albeit a young man, who was mad for him. It must have felt like he was dating a puppy. That night began what I considered to be my first adult relationship. The intensity of my attraction also created an insecurity and mania in me that nearly destroyed us several times. I was both Sid and Nancy in the way I needed him and hated him for it. It wasn't healthy, but it was exciting. And what did I know about relationships? All I had heard was they were a lot of work. And we were definitely working. Shortly after Todd and I started dating, we were both given auditions for the new Broadway production of Hairspray. The show had already been cast, but at the last minute, they needed a new men's chorus member. Although I loved Todd, I was out for blood at that audition. And I killed it. Todd did too, because we both got down to the final four. We left in silence, imagining the launch of our new Broadway careers at the other's expense. 2 hours later, we got our rejection calls. Todd was disappointed, but I was devastated. I was cheesy, white, and could pony my butt off. If I couldn't land this job, how did I belong in this business? I didn't belong in it, apparently. So, I quit. I had been paying my bills with a day job, bland, pseudo-artistic work directing cartoons. Todd and I created a comfortable routine, going to farmers markets and flea markets, basically any kind of market, just to pass the time. There were weekend trips upstate and home repair projects. The first time we broke up, we were on a cruise with another gay couple. We got into an argument because he made me feel stupid for ordering Riesling at dinner. This spiraled into a larger conversation about me feeling controlled and Todd feeling that I ignored him when we were out with friends. The doors to the balcony were open and we could hear mariachis playing covers of pop songs. Our relationship ended during La Bamba, when Todd shouted, "I don't want to do this anymore," just as the final note played. This was midway through the cruise, with three more ports to go. We barely spoke. Back home, though, we soon returned to our work and market going and daily sex. And in this way, years passed. Until one day, while completing yet another mindless but stressful office task, I thought, I can't do this anymore. I had to give acting one last shot. I managed to get a few minor jobs. Then one morning, I got a call offering a Broadway audition for Hairspray, of all shows. It was the exact role I had auditioned for years earlier. I couldn't do it. The pain and disappointment was just too much to bear. That show was my John Waters-shaped white whale taunting me. But I also couldn't not do it. I didn't tell Todd. He hadn't been called in, and I didn't want to upset him. Also, I didn't want to be embarrassed when I didn't get it again. When the time came, I was totally relaxed and did the material exactly as I wanted to. By the time I got back to my building, they had already called saying, "I got the job." It was the happiest moment of my life. Todd was inside waiting to have dinner. When I told him, his face tightened. "You beat me," he said. "What?" "You beat me," he said, not warmly. "You got there first." Then he pivoted, hugging and congratulating me, but the damage was done. I hadn't known we were still competing. We muddled through the holidays, a raucous New Year's Eve party. We kissed tentatively at midnight. "Can we leave?" he said. I wanted to stay, but we went home and lay next to each other in silence. I wanted him to be happier for me. I fell asleep formulating the conversation we would have about how hurt I was. I knew it could be sorted out. When I woke up, Todd was gone. On my phone was a voicemail message. "Andrew, I can't do this. You are clearly on your way to someplace else, someplace without me. I'm happy for you, but that was my dream too. I don't think I can watch someone else do it before me. I'm sorry. I love you." It was dark out. I sat on my couch, confused and lonely. He was the tallest man I ever loved, the first item on my list, and I'd lost him. But there was also a voice within me, rising, the voice of my practical, stoic, rural ancestors. They may not have known much about Broadway, but they knew the value of hard work and of getting back up after you were dealt a blow. The voice said, "You left Omaha in the safety of your family, and it led you exactly where you wanted to be. You got it, Andrew, and you deserve it. Now find yourself a plot of land and a good woman and start spreading the family seed." Well, maybe that last sentence didn't quite apply.
That's Andrew Rannells reading his own essay, "The Tallest Man I Ever Loved." We'll catch up with him after the break.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. To understand changes in migration, I traveled to the Darien Gap. Thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the border of Colombia and Panama in the hopes of making it to the United States. We interviewed hundreds of people to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
This is the second essay that Andrew Rannells has written for the Modern Love column and performed for the podcast. And after he recorded this essay, Andrew stayed in the studio to chat. He started by telling us more about the end of his relationship with Todd.
That was not the end of his career or anything, but it was definitely... it was time for us to break up. You know, at the time, thinking about it, I hated that it came in the form of some sort of professional win on my part. But I think it was a symptom of a lot of larger issues that we were both having. And, you know, please, I was 22 when we started dating. And as I said, I was his first serious gay relationship. So those are usually not the ones that stick forever, you know.
Todd and Andrew have both moved on and had other relationships, and Todd is married now. But Andrew says that this wasn't the last time he made a list of qualities he wanted his dream boyfriend to have.
The list got more specific, and the guys kept showing up. Like, that was the thing, is like, I would create these ideas in my mind, and they would appear. And I don't know how that works exactly, or if it was just that I was looking for these specific things and sort of making them happen, or imagining that the person was actually exactly what I thought they were going to be. But I would always leave something important off the list. I mean, not on purpose, but I would realize later, like, oh, I should have asked for that. So then at every breakup, I would like sort of adjust my list and be like, let's tack that thing on. Until finally, I just got to the point where I was like, I can't, these lists are ridiculous. I need to stop journaling and just focus on, are they a good person? And less on, how tall is he? What color is his hair?
Andrew says that in those early years, he was excited to be in New York, but it was also a messy time.
Like, I wanted it to be sort of a more scripted, romantic, beautiful transition into moving to New York and getting a job and falling in love. And it was just a little scrappier, and things took a while to kind of cobble together a life and friendships and relationships and a career.
Andrew's essay is adapted from his new book of personal essays called Too Much Is Not Enough. He says writing that book made him see his younger self differently.
The thing that was, I think, most helpful, even just recently, was sort of forgiving myself and forgiving that guy, that 20-something-year-old version of myself, for having some missteps along the way and for not always, you know, behaving as honorably as I could have or as kindly as I could have. And I think I was, and sometimes remain to be kind of hard on myself for that, but I was doing my best, and I think that's the big take, like personal takeaway from writing all those essays was just to be a little more forgiving of your young self, because we're all just trying to get it done, you know.
Now, about 15 years after his relationship with Todd, Andrew's professional life has taken off, and his personal life is in a good place too.
My love life is really great right now. I'm dating someone now. It's very new, but great. And we were friends before we started dating, so that's always a nice sort of safety, because I feel like you can't really pull any punches then. We have to skip that stage where you pretend like, I'm super easygoing. Look how relaxed I am. Like, I can't do that with him because he's seen me spiral out of control. So he knows what he's getting into. You've caught me in new love. So it's I'm feeling very optimistic and very happy at the moment about my love life.
That's Andrew Rannells. He starred in Girls and The Book of Mormon, and you can see him now in Black Monday on Showtime. His book is called Too Much Is Not Enough, a memoir of fumbling toward adulthood. More after the break.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. To understand changes in migration, I traveled to the Darien Gap. Thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the border of Colombia and Panama in the hopes of making it to the United States. We interviewed hundreds of people to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
Here's Daniel Jones, editor of the Modern Love column for the New York Times.
What intrigued me about this essay, beyond the humor and the, you know, interesting story of how he got started in his acting career, is this larger idea of competition within relationships and how, in this case, it just became such a huge blob sort of between the two of them. And it seems to me that there's so many relationships that are, you know, between like-minded people and similar careers. It just happens more and more that people meet at work and they're doing the same thing. And to have one excel in ways that the other person just yearns to and isn't, you know, it's like the relationship can't get past that. It's such a sort of broad problem, and just the, you know, the way that Andrew got to that with his sense of humor and was just sort of a delightful read.
Modern Love is a production of the New York Times and WBUR, Boston's NPR station. It's produced, directed, and edited by Caitlin O'Keefe. Original scoring and sound design by Matt Reed. Iris Adler is our executive producer. Daniel Jones is the editor of Modern Love for the New York Times and advisor to the show. Special thanks to Julia Simon, Anya Stremian, and Mia Lee at the New York Times. The idea for the Modern Love podcast was conceived by Lisa Tobin. Additional music courtesy of APM. The Tallest Man I Ever Loved by Andrew Rannells is adapted from Andrew's book Too Much Is Not Enough, which is available wherever books are sold. And if you love the podcast, rate us or review us on Apple Podcasts. And tell a friend to subscribe. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See you next week.